Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's Friday, March 24th, 2017. I am Rich Fan, and I'm here to help you host the PW Torch Livecast, the Friday flagship. Bruce is on assignment. So because of that, I'll be flowing solo for the next hour, and hopefully answering some questions about WrestleMania, the lead up to it, and hopefully anything you guys have to say. Remember, the number to call is area code 515-605-9345. Again, that 515-605-9345. Now, with the week that was, we saw a lot. We saw the Ring of Honor WWE rumors. We also saw a little bit of the conference call with Triple H. And as we go along today, I also have a little bit of a WrestleMania challenge for you guys as it pertains to your favorite matches that we can then talk about next week when Bruce is no longer on assignment. Now, without any further ado, before my designated co-host pops on, we're going to start with a caller, and that should be, if I do this correctly, my main man in Georgia, Darrell. Darrell, is this you?
Yo, what up, Rich?
How you doing?
Doing quite well, man. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good. Bruce is on his way to his crack reporting at the CWF show, so I'll be flying solo dolo for a little bit. What do you got to talk about today?
Okay. First thing is, with Mania up, we all know what the card is. If you can say what would be the two or three top matches of that night that could possibly steal the show?
Well, for me, one of the two matches that could steal the show right away, I'm going to think the Cruiserweight Classic match between Austin Aries and my boy, but mainly because I think they're going to get the time. And one of the other matches I think that could possibly steal the show would be Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, mainly because I think they probably have one of the best feuds going into WrestleMania. What about you?
Number one would be the Cruiserweight match, just because the past 2 weeks on the Cruiserweight match, especially the ones that got the time, they have been showing better matches week by week, especially this past week with Neville versus Mustafa Ali. That was an awesome match, and it seemed like they letting them do a little bit more. So that's why I'm hoping they get the time and they do a little bit more. And Chris Jericho, and some might not think I'm saying this, but AJ and Shane might be something surprising.
Really? What makes you so attracted to the AJ Shane match?
Just because I'm thinking they putting this out there as a showcase for AJ to see if he can carry a match for someone to counted on. Since you hear the rumors of they're talking about moving him to Raw and maybe Roman Reigns to SmackDown. So that fits in the idea that I had. So I'm thinking that he's going to try to pull maybe a 3, maybe 4-star match with Shane.
Now, I was with you up into Survivor Series. When Shane had the match at Survivor Series, I don't know if it were the punches or injuring himself and nearly injuring some of his competitors, but I think that finally burst the bubble I had around Shane McMahon, professional wrestler. And that hasn't returned. Every time I've seen Shane since in a physicality situation, I don't know. I've just been kind of turned off. What about you?
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking that for the longest, too. I was a big opponent of the match, but I'm putting this all on AJ, and I think AJ can have a good match because just seeing how he had Shane do the little suplex with him on the outside, I'm just thinking that AJ is going to bump his tail off and he's going to try to make a good match out of it. and clearly cementing him at the top of the card in WWE for the foreseeable future.
I definitely agree with you with that. I think, as many people have noted, editor, publisher Wade Keller, Bruce himself, Travis, etc., I think the fact that they're trusting him, quote unquote, with Shane by Vince is seen as a compliment to AJ's ability. So the big thing for me is, going forward, what's going to be his payoff after this? So if he does what he did with Roman Reigns after last year's WrestleMania, where he makes one of Vince's pet projects look amazing, the reward was a WWE title reign and basically getting to be the man on SmackDown. What's going to be the reward for him, presuming he stays on SmackDown post brand split draft?
Well, I don't think he's going to stay if the storyline tells win, lose, or draw. You can't have him stay on SmackDown after you done crossed the boss. That would be typical storyline. But maybe another title reign pretty soon, and hopefully you might see a SummerSlam match on Raw, Universal title match, him versus Finn Balor, because I know people been saying that they think Roman going to beat Brock or somebody after Mania. I'm thinking that it might be a Finn who show up and get that win. But that's another topic.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Anything else for tonight, Darrell?
And something else for tonight will be with Roman. With Roman, I think with him losing the Undertaker might be a better thing. Losing clean and wanting to go to SmackDown to chase Undertaker, then be the man over there. Do you think that'll put sympathy to the fans and make him more of a babyface, since they obviously not going to turn him heel?
I don't know. I think for WrestleMania's purposes, Roman can be the quote-unquote heel, because most people aren't going to boo The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. Again, just like AJ Styles, I think the problem is going to be after it. How do you handle Roman in a world where, you know, presuming he beats The Undertaker, people still see him as the guy who is just the chosen one and not necessarily the best?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm thinking that if he loses to Undertaker, doesn't that show fans something else, that he loses to Undertaker? Beating Taker don't give him too much, but losing to Taker might give a lot of stuff to him that fans want to see.
Oh, no, that's fair. That's very fair. Before I let you go, Darrell, I got a challenge for everybody. I've been listening to the Progress owner Jim Smallman's podcast, and he made a list of his top 10 WrestleMania matches. So what I want you guys to do, and you, especially since you call in so much and you're such a quality caller, next week when Bruce and I have the show, I want you to have your top 10 WrestleMania matches, but here are the rules. You can't repeat wrestlers, and you can't repeat shows. So if you use Steve Austin and The Rock from WrestleMania X7, you can't use Austin and The Rock for anything else, and you can't use any matches on X7. Make sense?
Got it. And I already got like 8 of them in my head. So, yeah. All right.
All right. I'm going to look forward to hearing them next week.
Okay, then.
All right. Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
That was my man Darrell in Georgia. Always a good listener, always a good provider, hashtag content. I'm going to take a pause for the cause, as Steve Austin would say, to introduce my co-host for as long as his wife will allow him to be on tonight. And that's one of my best friends, Christopher Maitland. Chris was a guy who actually got me onto the Torch. So if you have a friend, definitely tell them about the Torch and tell them they can go to pwtorch.com/govip, where for the cost of 2 visits to Starbucks, you can get over 30 years of pro wrestling history, quality interviews, and audio podcasts and live audio shows like the one you have here with our live cast on the Friday flagship, second only to the longest reigning audio goodness that is Bruce Mitchell and Wade Keller's Bruce Mitchell Audio. Chris, how are you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Before I say anything, I'd like to thank, first of all, my lovely wife for changing her our plans for the evening. I'd like to thank Wade, Bruce, you, and of course, the University of South Carolina basketball team for allowing me to be on the live cast today.
See, I just got off the phone with Bruce, and he was so magnanimous about the loss, and you're just going to keep poking the hornet's nest. That's not right, but I understand.
Well, when I called before, I made a reference to me being Tully Blanchard, so there you go.
That's fair. And for those people who are listening, make sure you push 1 on your phone if you want to come in. I'll be going to our next caller in a moment, but before I do, Chris, what did you think of the recent news with Ring of Honor and WWE talking, and do you have any opinions on that?
Well, you know, I was going to call. I was on hold last week. I think your wife bumped me off the line. I thought that a lot of the issues at Ring of Honor were pretty bad, and that a lot of wrestlers were leaving to go different places. The news isn't surprising for me, because I don't think Sinclair sees Ring of Honor as anything more than a business opportunity, which I completely understand. But as you know from us talking wrestling for almost 20 years, I prefer when there are multiple promotions, and Ring of Honor has done quite a bit for the wrestling world and brought a lot of people who are now either been going to be at WrestleMania in a week or have been major WWE stars. Their first sort of national prominence was the Ring of Honor. So if they were to go away, I think that would be a big hit.
Gotcha. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Triple H's conference call. One of the things they asked, and it was actually, I want to say it was Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, but it could have been Dave Meltzer of The Observer. They asked about the idea of Kyle O'Reilly coming to the WWE, and Triple H seemed very interested in the idea of it. What do you think about the idea of Kyle O'Reilly and maybe in turn some of the other Ring of Honor or former Ring of Honor wrestlers joining the WWE?
Well, Kyle O'Reilly is going to Evolve in April, not when we're going next week, but in April. So that might be a sign of a lot of guys who end up going to WWE do a stop and Evolve. So I think that might be the case for him. I think obviously WWE's had their eyes on quite a few Ring of Honor talent, Adam Cole being the most notable. I think if Ring of Honor goes away, they have their option of choosing whoever they want. If they want to make a Ring of Honor territory, potentially they can maybe use some wrestlers as a bridge. But, you know, Vince McMahon, since, you know, the early 80s, has been about eliminating all competition. And this is another step in that plan.
Fair enough. And I will be seeing you in a week. So the challenge I mentioned, I'll probably ask you to your face about it. But how difficult do you think it would be for you to make a top 10 WrestleMania moments or WrestleMania matches without duplicating wrestlers or WrestleMania events?
It would be difficult for me for two reasons. You know, one, I was fortunate enough to be a kid in the 80s with cable. There was a time in my life where I watched, well, the first WrestleMania or two, I don't think was available on pay-per-view, but I watched every one in a row. But there are a few that I missed when I kind of fell out of wrestling in the 2000s. You know, you spoke to me about this the other day, and I could maybe go through three matches without repeating. I think that's what makes the WWE Network great. You can sit down and maybe go through some of the cards. I think definitely, I said the two matches I would have to have would be, you know, Undertaker Shawn from WrestleMania, the first one, which was 26. Is that the right number?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Savage Steamboat, and of course a match that will help eliminate a lot of other ones, but a match that I really enjoyed, which is Steve Austin and Bret Hart from WrestleMania 13. The rest would involve some research, but I've definitely started looking, and I hope I can get a list for you.
Excellent. And we're going to be right back. I'm going to give a short break for some delightful contributors to the Torch family as far as ad revenue. And when we come back, we'll take your calls at area code 515-605-9345.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com. covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right, we're back. Let's go to 615. 615, you're on the PW Torch Friday Labcast. Why don't you state your name and where you're from?
Hey, this is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee, and I'm a VIP PW Torch member.
Excellent. Thanks for calling, Kenny. What questions do you have for Chris and I?
Well, basically, you guys were just talking about Ring of Honor and, you know, Sinclair and WWE and all of this. And my question, and I want to throw this out to you as sort of a proposed theory. Let's say WWE was successful in purchasing Ring of Honor from Sinclair. Do you think it is possible that they could just, you know, shut the promotion down, you know, show the old footage on the WWE network for a while, and then, you know, bring the name back for the proposed UK TV show? You know, to me, that name alone could sound so awesome for what the WWE is trying to do to UK, and it would fit right in my opinion, to that image of what they're trying to represent as far as, you know, UK and Ring of Honor. That name alone sounds so perfect for that. Do you guys agree with that?
Chris?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Well, what do you think about that idea?
Oh, sorry, yes. I think the idea would be great. I don't know about the name, only because I feel that WWE wants to have their own identity, and that once you name it after Ring of Honor, a company that would have existed for 15 plus years, there's probably a connection there that they wouldn't want to make, but the idea sounds really good.
I agree. I think it's similar to... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kenny.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's similar to what they did in many ways with ECW, where they rebooted it and they had their version of it and tried to treat it as almost a separate promotion. So there's opportunities to be had if they were to have a Ring of Honor reborn, so to speak.
Yeah, you just hit it right on the nail. Like when WWE brought back ECW, I mean, they tried to recapture some of that magic, but, you know, in the end they decided, you know, we're going to go a different direction and use it as a vehicle to develop young talent, which of course was the evolution of NXT. And I could definitely see that from a Ring of Honor perspective.
The only thing with that, if I can jump in, is that most people feel that was a failure and was not as good as the original ECW. So I don't know if WWE wants to put a product together called Ring of Honor that people say, well, that's not good of the Ring of Honor of CM Punk, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan.
I understand that. There is that fear of that aspect of it too. And I want to get in one quick question, if that's okay with you guys.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this kind of was sort of an analogy, you know, if Bruce was here, he probably would have understood it a lot better, but since you're here and I know you're a Duke fan and I'm a UCLA Bruins fan, we got a big matchup against Kentucky. But one of the things that, you know, has been an elevation for UCLA besides being a good team is they've got a sports little league father in the form of LeVar Bell, if I hope I say his name right, with Lonzo Ball. And I think of that way with Vince McMahon and his kids, Shane and Stephanie, involved in some form of fashion in the WWE, especially with Shane against AJ Styles. I think there's a part of him that wants to see Shane succeed against AJ Styles, that aspect of it. And I guess my question is, do you think that a lot of this is more Vince kind of calling the shot and say, yeah, you know, it could work with somebody else, but Shane's our guy. We're going to go with him. Do you think really it's more Vince pulling the strings and not so much anybody else?
Chris?
Sure. Well, first thing I got to jump in and say that, you know, I am married to a lovely lady from the great state of Kentucky, and my brother-in-laws are both big UK fans, as are my in-laws. So I'm going to be a little bit against you there, though I honestly think, and I don't know if they're listening, that UCLA will probably win due to the presence of Mr. Ball. But yes, I get what you're saying in the fact that there's this great desire to push the kids to be viewed a certain way. And I guess there's always been that aspect of wrestling where you've had sons of the promoters being pushed probably higher than they are. But as Rich knows, I've never been a fan of Shane McMahon, at least recently. When we were at WrestleMania last year, I used the Shane McMahon Undertaker match to use the bathroom and figure out the easiest way to drive away from the stadium. So, but I do agree that, you know, Vince really is focused on them to be viewed a certain way. And in a lot of ways, I think that's a detriment to the product itself.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that sense, because especially more on Stephanie's side. I mean, her is this heel now going on, this heel shit going on for almost 20 years. It's just so redundant. And, you know, we thought we had a break from the Authority, and now all of a sudden, like, boom, here we go again for this. I mean, I hope that it's short and that it ends after WrestleMania to an extent, but you just don't know. I mean, it just seemed like that they are so determined, you know, and I think Wade said it best on, I think it may have been on the Thursday or the Wednesday live cast, of just, you know, trying to keep, you know, and the writers too, they're all writing for Vince, and they all have a perception of what Vince wants, and they want to write for Vince, and the best way to do it is to have their kids put on that pedestal. And I think it does get to a point where it gets redundant, at least on the Stephanie side of things. I don't think it's that bad on Shane, because he's not been on TV that much.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with Shane, though, I think, as I mentioned with Darrell, the bloom is kind of off the rose when the physicality comes in. Shane, the character, Shane, the loving, quote-unquote, good McMahon, is always going to be welcomed. But Shane McMahon, the wrestler, I've been, you know, a staunch supporter of Shane, but as I mentioned a few minutes ago with Darrell, the second I saw those horrible, horrible punches, for years I've yelled at my car while I'm driving, and Wade was complaining about Shane being able to do a stunt bumps and then go home and kiss his wife and kids while the other guys have to go on the road. But there's something to it. It's just, it's in the back of my head, and it won't leave now. His ability to do this insane stuff, and AJ Styles has to watch the next night as he goes on to SmackDown and continues to participate. It's just horrible. And I don't care how old Shane is. It's just something at this point where he should have grown out of this need for his dad's approval.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, I told you, Rich, and some other friends of mine, the story. You know, I saw Shane McMahon on the subway here in New York a few years ago. No one knew who he was. I should have looked at him and said, "Don't come back."
You had your chance. You had your chance. Go ahead.
I was going to apologize for that, not doing that.
It's all right. I mean, the Undertaker match was what it was. It was him doing what he did. And as Kenny mentioned, you know, Stephanie for me is the most problematic now, because I can tell you here in Pittsburgh, I mentioned this last week, when the local news covered the WWE, when they came for SmackDown, they cited that the Connor's Cure was founded entirely on the auspices of Stephanie McMahon, because she saw a need for children with cancer and other diseases to be spotlighted and helped when they could. And I did, you know, a Scooby-Doo style double take, because the capacity to put all of this in her wheelhouse is just such a McMahon thing to do.
Yeah, especially in a city like Pittsburgh with a huge UPMC's medical reach. I mean, it's kind of very odd to pretend they didn't do anything until Connor's Cure appeared.
Yeah, very weird, very weird. Now, anything else you have for us today, Kenny?
No, that is it. We'll enjoy the rest of the show, and you guys have a good weekend. And once again, go UCLA Bruins. Have a good night.
Go Cats.
That was Kenny. Great caller. And Kenny, same thing. If you have a chance, definitely try to think about your top 10 WrestleMania matches and how they would fit given the rules I mentioned before. You can't put a person in there that doesn't that repeats a show or repeats a wrestler. Before we get to the next caller, though, Chris, I do want to ask you a question. And it has to pertain to what's been going on recently with TNA. We were best impressed with what's been going on with TNA. And so when I read the report on The Torch that Karen Jarrett the main event of last night's show, I just kind of shook my head and just wondered what the heck is going on over there.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense. You know, in a sports context, usually teams will find other teams that are successful. Like, for example, in the NBA, you have a lot of players and GMs who come from the Spurs because the Spurs have been successful. But it doesn't seem that that's the case in TNA. It seems that they hire people who are unsuccessful and repeat the same steps. You know, I think that, you know, putting Karen Jarrett in the main event is just something that makes no sense to anyone unless you know who's running the promotion. I think that, in my opinion, the best thing that TNA can do is solidly produce good shows every week, not make everything out to be some sort of big announcement, big change. I think word of mouth will help improve it if they just do steady shows and just have a long-term plan, as long as it doesn't affect their TV situation. I don't know what you think about it, but I don't really feel that they've made a lot of improvements. And you could argue their show was better 6 months ago than it is now.
Well, as it's going on now, I'm trying to give it a chance. I am completely unimpressed. I've not been a fan of Jeff Jarrett's constant need to hop in the pool, so to speak, in the promoter business, be it Global Force Wrestling, which went for years without television or anything outside of baseball spot shows, to the point where his tag team champions are currently still in the WWE and NXT, the Bollywood Boys. Or the current situation now where they're trying to make quote unquote TNA great again. It doesn't seem like they're getting it. It's, you know, I'm a big fan, as you know, if you don't learn from the past, you're going to be doomed to repeat it. And I just feel like TNA is in this death spiral where they keep trusting the same people. They keep having the same ideas and they keep putting themselves in positions to prevent themselves from being the true promotion.
I mean, one of the craziest things this year was when people would call into the live cast and say, oh, we should have a dream match for WrestleMania, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. How many times did they wrestle on TNA?
Yeah.
TNA never marketed it correctly to do that. I mean, you could meant between those guys, between the New Japan guys who they misused, and they had the opportunities to do so many different things. They were so focused on reliving WCW from the late 90s that they missed that opportunity. And now they've lost a lot of viewers' trust. And really, they need to go back to bare bones and just putting good shows together. Of course, you need good names, and they have people there of considerable talent. But I think you just need to show the people that you have a steady hand, a steady show, and that people want to enjoy to watch your show. Then you can grow from there. All this other stuff, bells and whistles, doesn't matter if you don't put on a solid product.
Absolutely. And before we continue any further, we're going to take another commercial break for the fine folks at home to learn about some great merchandisers that work with the PW Torch.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
I have to admit, I'm also one person that tries to take advantage of that PW Torch deal when it comes to Amazon. And typically for me, it's with comic books. And in terms of comic books, we have a great deal going on right now with the Torch by way of Loot Crate. On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or if it's me and you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month, there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one or a PW Torch podcast host. For April, join us as we salute our favorite mystery solvers with items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate, including signed copies of Jessica Jones's Alias, Volumes 1 through 4. Now remember the rules. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. It's done. Make sure you head to www.lootcrate.com/PWTorch to save $3 off any new subscription today. Now, Chris, I know you're not much of a comic book fan, but since you do know someone who's currently hosting a show that would like to get a Loot Crate, do you think that is something worth investing in?
It sounds great. I appreciate that. I said, no, that does sound great. And I'm thinking the reason why you read that out now is because your birthday is in about 6 weeks and you're hoping to get some gifts. But it does definitely sound great for those people who love comic books.
Outstanding. Now let's go back to our callers. 647, you're now on with Chris and I on the PW Torch Friday Livecast.
Hi, this is Mark from Ontario. How are you guys tonight?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I guess I've got a two-part question. The second part being a question that Cam asked me on the live on the East Coast cast, actually. So who goes on last at Mania? I don't know if it's a simple answer anymore. And Cam's question is, I think, possibly more interesting, is who goes on second last?
Chris?
All right. I think my guess is that Goldberg Lesnar is last. And second last is John Cena, Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse.
And on my side, I would say last. I'll agree with Lesnar. But I think second to last, I'm going to take a page out of Wade's book and go with Owens and Jericho. What about you, Mark?
I like Chris's. See, I don't know if it needs to be a come-down match or not. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens, because I think this will give you a clue, or give us all a clue when it happens, as to how long the Brock and Goldberg match is going to be. Because if it's a come-down match, I think it's going to be a longer match for the main event. But if it's a good match, like Kevin Owens, for instance, I think it'll be a clue to us that perhaps the Goldberg-Brock match is really short. What are your thoughts about that?
Did they announce what time WrestleMania was going to start? I know last year it ran for what I felt was like forever, but it may have been 6 hours. I guess it depends on what time they start to know what time they finish. I don't think they'll want to go as late as last time. I don't know if you know the time, Rich.
I don't yet. I hadn't been looking. I know it's going to go close to 5 hours, maybe six. So heaven help us.
But yeah, I think by that point, I think the issue last year is that Triple H and Roman Reigns wrestled a 27-minute match after so much wrestling. I don't really think that no matter what match you put on will be well-received completely, because I think there'll be audience fatigue after that much wrestling. So it might be better to have a short match in which people can kind of get fired up very quickly because they've just seen so much in the last few hours.
And what was your second question, Mark?
No, the second question was Cam's question, which was who goes on second last? Because I asked Cam and Travis who goes on last, and they asked me, well, who goes on second last?
Well, I got one for you, and this is taking a page out of Wade and Travis from this Wednesday's live cast. Who do you think opens?
Aha. See, I think that's where Kevin Owens and Jericho start. I see that as a pretty good curtain jerk to get the crowd amped up.
I agree with Mark. Owens and Jericho.
See, now I'm going to go with the Daniel Bryan special, and I think it'll be Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton.
No, that
because
feud has been so weird.
Mm-hmm.
So that feud's been so weird because it started off interesting, and at the point where you thought the payoff would come, it actually got worse. Like, they did all this to involve the title, and then it just became as more ridiculous than the normal Bray Wyatt feud, but still too ridiculous?
Yeah, it's weird to me. I joked with Bruce. It was like the goth kid in high school was hanging out with the captain of the swim team, and he sent the wrong note to someone, so he burned his house down. Like, there was no reciprocity. It was completely asymmetrical. I didn't feel at any point Bray Wyatt did anything to warrant having his family home burned down.
Yeah, it just seemed to be like they had a good plan. They spent months, you know, they had the tag team titles. They had the uses of Luke Harper. Everything seemed to make sense. It's almost like they were two-thirds in the book and then just gave up finishing the end of it. It's just been very awkward. I think the steam from the feud is definitely worn off.
Anything else you got for us this fine evening, Mark?
No, I'll just make one comment and then I'll drop to let other callers get on. I don't know about Randy opening as the curtain jerker. I mean, he's until the last, you know, 5 seconds of his matches, he's a really boring wrestler to watch. Like, he's going to get a pop when he comes out, and then the match is going to be flat, and maybe you get an RKO, maybe you don't. So I see that more as more of a come-down match than an opener. That's just my opinion.
Oh, no, that's fine. If I remember correctly, wasn't he the opener with Seth Rollins when Seth cashed in his Money in the Bank, or am I off a match or two?
No, you're right. I think that was correct when they were in Levi Stadium 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, the big jeans, or whatever they call that god awful stadium, the big dungaree.
It's a nice stadium. It's very nice. I've been there. It's a nice stadium.
It's fine. It's fine. Well, thank you for your call, Mark. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark from Ontario. 140, you are on with Rich and Chris on the Friday flagship of the PW Torch Livecast.
Yeah, hey, Rich and Chris, Jason from Australia. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Jason. How's it going so far, my man?
Yeah, going good, mate, going good. I have to say, Rich, you're doing a tremendous job as host. You're very smooth, you're very articulate, so, you know, you're doing a great job as always.
Well, I'm trying to... You know, I have a lot to live up to here because if I crash the plane, so to speak, here, I don't need the PW Torch being brought down by one errant Friday flagship live cast gone wrong. Because then Bruce is going to chase after me. You know, if this is 80s wrestling, this is the equivalent of what he was talking about 2 weeks ago, where he's giving me the plot of land. I just got to take care of it. Otherwise, we're meeting at the Lethal Leap Year in a steel cage somewhere.
No, I wouldn't mind seeing that, Rich and Bruce in a steel cage. And, you know, I wouldn't mind being ringside at that. And, you know, I'd like to play the role of Ric Flair and Mr. Perfect with SummerSlam 92 with Warrior and Macho Man. You don't know whose side I'm on, so I actually kind of like that storyline.
I might have to run in on that one.
Chris, because Jason is a Dolphins fan. All the way in Australia, but he's the nicest Dolphin fan I think I've ever met in my years as a Bills fan.
There are not too many nice Dolphin fans. I'm a Jets fan, by the way, so throwing that out there.
Oh, no.
So this is official.
We've got a trifecta here.
Yeah, you know, on Wednesdays I do the East Coast cast with Travis on the VIP side of things. Tonight we have the AFC East cast invading the Friday live cast.
Well, think about this, guys. Just imagine, right, with the AFC East, and we didn't have any teams, and we all had to pick some out of a hat. So, Chris, you get Jets. Rich, you get Bills. I get Dolphins. And, of course, we miss out on the team that's been most successful. So that would just be our luck, right?
Yeah, that would be very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I'm anyway, sure for guys, those people who are on hold.
Hey, you know, in relation to the last match, right? See, to me, I'm completely different on this. I think you've got to learn from history. I think you say, yes, in theory, a world title match should finish. But you go back to WrestleMania 18, you know, Triple H and Jericho got burnt by going on last and not Hogan and Rock. You look at WrestleMania 25, a poor repeat for Triple H. Order Triple H goes on last when it should have been Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Now, you go to 28, right? Rock and Cena finished off, they were the main event of WrestleMania 28. They went on last, and it worked out good. The match that had the most heat ended up going on last. And I believe that after about 5 or 6 hours, however long this WrestleMania is, you have to put on the match that you envision having the most heat. And I believe that match is Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. And the reason I say that is that you know the crowd is going to be passionately against Roman Reigns. And you know they're going to be for The Undertaker. I don't think you want to take that risk with Goldberg and Lesnar, because I think there is enough evidence out there to suggest that people are going to crap all over that match. So that's why I believe it has to be Roman Reigns and Undertaker. Now, as far as an opening match is concerned, once again, I go completely off the scales here. I think you open up with Lesnar and Goldberg. And the reason I say that is because I think you can make it into a storyline this week where Heyman comes out and says, you know what, my client Brock Lesnar, he doesn't want to wait to the end of WrestleMania. He wants you straight away. And we want the biggest opening match in WrestleMania history for the Universal title, Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. Let's get it on straight away. Now, all of a sudden, you have people looking forward to that match, eagerly wanting it to open up with, as opposed to having to wait a long time for this match. So I think there's a different psychology you can play there. Now, there's a 99.9% chance they're not going to go down that path, but I think you go with Goldberg and Lesnar, I think you run the risk of really the crowd being worn out and they're going to leave on a bad note. You can't afford to do that. Roman Reigns versus Undertaker gets you that reaction, and depending on how the match ends, it could leave people really looking forward to Raw the next night.
What do you think about that, Chris?
With that match, I think that's a really good idea. My only concern is that if Roman Reigns wins, the crowd will definitely not leave on a good note. So I guess that really depends on the finish. My thought is that that match will probably end up being longer than the Goldberg-Lesnar match, and that match is going to be kind of a quick shootout, for lack of a better word, and therefore, you know, it's not so bad being last because you would have had so much wrestling before it. I feel that if Reigns is going to win, and, you know, I may be one of the people in the minority, I think he should win. I think unless they're turning him heel, that match should not go on last if you want to have a feel-good moment. I think people will cheer for Lesnar if he wins, so that's why I consider that a potential feel-good moment.
Now, what about the issue of... Go ahead, Jason.
No, I agree with what Chris is saying, and like I said, that's all dependent on the booking. I mean, a part of me wants to see a major angle at the end of WrestleMania to set up Raw, you know. So, and I believe Reigns should win too, because quite possibly they might be setting up Lesnar versus Reigns next year, and it's the two guys that have defeated Undertaker's streak. But you know, I mean, if they were to, I mean, could you imagine like Reigns, you know, winning, defeating the Undertaker, you know, getting up, and then Reigns spearing him again? You know, that could constitute a semi-heel turn or something just to get people talking on Raw. I would feel bad for Lesnar and Goldberg if they went on last after 7 hours of wrestling. You've got that really smart crowd who are not into it. They're probably going to boo. They're probably going to feel like it should have been Owens' spot or whatever. I just don't want to leave WrestleMania with people not into that match. I just don't think you want that.
Yeah, I could see your point there. I think when it comes to Roman, it's so difficult, and because the main issue I have with Roman is I don't know how people are going to interpret him. What I mean by that is, to us, we see the pitfalls of ending WrestleMania on a quote-unquote downer. But if Vince sees Roman triumphant over The Undertaker as a moment that people will cheer, how does that then manifest itself WrestleMania Sunday?
Yeah, it's all dependent on Roman Reigns. I mean, and you've talked about this before, Rich, and I brought it up. I mean, everything really depends on Roman Reigns. I mean, this is why there's certain characters that aren't babyfaces when they should be. And, you know, heels, it's all because of Roman Reigns and what Vince wants for Roman Reigns. And it brings me to my other point. I don't know if you heard the Kevin Eck interview yesterday, but once again, I thought he was outstanding. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I really get annoyed when I hear, you know, old-time wrestlers just continue to blame the writers for what's, you know, wrong with WWE's product. You know, they always come back to the writers. But clearly, I've listened to enough ex-WWE creative team members to realize that they're actually going out of their way to try to do things for mid-card talent, to try to put stories together that make sense. But it is the erratic ways of Vince McMahon that pretty much screws everything up. And when I hear him say, oh, well, no one remembers that, and that was 2 to 3 weeks ago, I mean, to me, that's the end of the argument. You can't say no one's going to remember that after 2 to 3 weeks. You know, you have to give your audience some credit. And it just seems to me they have all these false justifications for their own ideas. And Vince McMahon is the problem that we see on TV when things don't make sense, not necessarily the writers. And, you know, that Kevin Eck interview, if people haven't heard that, they've got to go back and listen to that because he brings up a lot of good points. And I can see how it'd be very frustrating to be a creative writer in WWE.
Absolutely. I can definitely see that.
I'm sorry, Chris. Jason, I'm going to put you guys on hold. I'm going to get the final break in, and then we'll finish this great conversation. Sound good?
Definitely.
All right. So we're going to come back in a few moments. I'm going to give you the final break of the show, and then we'll finish up strong with Jason and your calls. Area code 515-605-9345.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more, and Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ringrust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
All right, we're back. I'd be remiss if, before I bring back Chris and Jason, I also mention our PW Torch East Coast cast where Travis and Cameron every Wednesday bring a not very minivan-friendly conversation. Anything goes. No holds barred. No conversation barred. No politics barred. From, I would say, 6 p.m. And afterwards, Travis and I have a VIP experience for you all where we answer emails and get to the heart of the matters in pro wrestling and beyond from whenever we start to whenever we finish. And sometimes it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it's a half hour in because I fell asleep. But ultimately, it's a fun time. So if you get a chance, go to PW Torch and definitely check out our East Coast cast. Also, while I have you, make sure you check out the Torch family of columns, such as Bruce's Weekly Audio, Wade's Editorials, Sean Radican. Of course, I'd be remiss not to mention The Fix, because The Fix is probably one of the most popular audio shows we have here in the Torch family. Bruce probably would hit me with a brick if I said that with him here, but it is true. We have to give Todd Martin his credit, but that's what we do. Now that I've got all those fun things out of the way, Jason and Chris, welcome back, and let's finish our discussion.
Yeah, well,
sure.
Chris, I'll just say to you guys, you know, the frustration with, to me, the frustration that I feel that people, it's like a quick thing they go to. Oh, let's just blame the writers. When clearly it's Vince. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that in any job you have people who are following their boss's orders, and the writers that have been there, they have a lot of turnover among different people, and I think that they try to follow what they need to do. I don't really feel that WWE is as interested in putting on the best wrestling product in kind of the traditional sense, and therefore they don't really worry about this week or next week, or they don't have always an idea that they work backwards from 6 months ago. But I think that the buck stops with Vince McMahon, and I feel that I agree with you 100%, Jason, that he's responsible for a lot of these issues. And you know, to make it simple, the riders have changed, but the issues have not.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great point you raised there. Exactly. The writers have changed, but the issues have not. And it's just, I feel sorry for the writers because people always tend to blame them when things go wrong. But, you know, quite clearly, when you have been saying, well, no one remembers that, and you got to look at it, one thing that also annoys me is that sometimes you'll get comments from ex-wrestlers or current wrestlers that when you take, you know, when you raise an issue about something or you question a storyline and how it doesn't make sense, they'll say, look, relax, it's just wrestling. Now, the funny thing is that if you have that attitude, then all you're going to get is wrestling fans. Because people like me, like you guys, we're going to forgive them. We're going to look past that. But if you're trying to attract newer people to your product, the audience today is used to really sophisticated television writing and nuances being covered and the little things being taken care of, because we've got a lot of quality TV at the moment. So if you're not paying attention to that, you're not going to get new people to the show. Like that, like Wade made a big deal about the camera being in the car in SmackDown. And people might think he's overreacting, but he's bringing up a good point. That type of thing wouldn't happen on a quality TV show. That type of thing would have an explanation. It's why I didn't like the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt thing where he burnt down his house. To me, that would have worked better if it was shown that Orton was the one filming it and he happened to send the film into WWE. But there's no explanation as to why the cameraman's there. And if someone who's happy to tune in sees this and they're watching, they think, well, this doesn't make any sense. You lose them. So you lose your ability to bring new people to your television program because your storytelling and the way that you're not covering off on little things, it's not matching what they're used to seeing in other TV shows. So I think it's just like this cycle of justifying, you know, bad techniques and bad things that used to be accepted 20 years ago, and it's really letting them down. So when I hear these things, I just get frustrated because I just feel like it's too hard for them. They put it in the too hard basket when it shouldn't be.
Yeah, you're right. Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead, Rich. Sorry.
I was just going to say, think about one of my favorite, most iconic scenes as a wrestling fan was the barbershop window with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. I don't know how aghast I would be as an adult if they had a reverse camera angle of Marty going through the window.
Yeah, I was saying, I think part of the issue is, you know, the Attitude Era is seen as the greatest era. I call it the trick play era in a lot of ways, and the fact that you ran all the trick plays, now you can't run them anymore, and you may have won the game, but you can't win future games. The desire to be so slick in the production, and WWE has great production, means that the reality of why certain angles that you wouldn't think would be there are there. And I think they have to sort of go back to having it not seem as if whatever happened was planned, with having cameras in the right place, because if someone was really attacked, or what AJ Styles did to Shane was such a surprise, you wouldn't know it was going to happen. That's what makes it more shocking. They should book and write the show with that sort of mentality.
Excellent.
Yeah,
now,
I just don't think you want people, like, you got to imagine if you're watching it with someone who doesn't follow wrestling and they're going to be cynical to begin with. And when you're not crossing your T's and dotting your I's, they're going to be put off because they're like, there's so much quality TV out there. It's different to 20 years ago. There's things you could get away with. But now the audience is used to quality TV. They're used to the little things being taken care of. And I believe it's one of the things why WWE haven't advanced their audience over the years. They've done a really good job to clamp down on their hardcore fans. But if they want to bring new people into the fold, they have to evolve the way they tell their stories, the way they go about it. Like Wade says, if someone just happens to be walking down the hall and the camera just happens to pick them up, this doesn't make sense. And it's not us thinking too hard about it. It simply doesn't make sense. And if you're not covering off those things, you're not going to bring in new people into the fold. But I guess from my point of view, look, you know, with WrestleMania coming up, I am looking forward to it. I guess, you know, imagine this, right? I'll put this, guys, as a question to you, and then I'll get off the line. You start Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. If you had to put three guys as a baby, swap three roles over, so three guys that are babyface now heels and heels babyfaces, what would you do that you would think would give everything a clean, fresh coat of paint?
Awesome. Thanks for the question. And I would say that was Jason in Perth, Australia, by the way, guys. My three, I would swap easy, right off the top of the head. Roman, face to heel. AJ, heel to face. And then I would probably bump, and this is going to sound weird, Triple H from heel to authority figure that is, you know, without a role. Because I think if he's going to be Papa H in NXT and then angry bully in WWE, you have to rectify the roles at some point. What do you think, Chris?
The three I would do, actually, you mentioned two of them, AJ Styles from heel to face, Roman Reigns from face to heel, and Braun Strowman from heel to face.
Oh, okay. So talk a little bit more about Braun. Why that?
I just think that he, in the right, now part of the reason probably he got cheers because he was against Roman Reigns, but I feel like he's been getting good reactions at times. And I think you need, you know, a guy who, you know, beats people up for good reasons. And I don't know how you would turn him, but I think you need, you know, WWE has been so bad at booking faces over the last 15 years that maybe they need to try it with a really big guy who's just like, you know, he does things the right way, but if you mess with him, he'll take you out. I think, you know, he's been getting cheers, and I think that in the right atmosphere, he could really do well in that role.
Excellent. Now, before we close up shop, I'd be remiss. I think 773 here is Boris, my man Boris. Boris, is this you?
Yeah, this is I missed the beginning of the show, so I don't know. I know you're here, but I'm trying to picture who's the other voices.
Oh, yes. This is one of my good friends, Chris. Bruce is on assignment, so Chris voluntarily Chris was magnanimous enough to volunteer his time for the next hour and kind of help me along as I was navigating these waters without Captain Mitchell.
Oh, okay. I had texted you when I started listening to Kevin Eck. I really enjoy when he come on because he just breaks it down. He breaks it down really good. And I don't know if you guys already talked about it, but you, Rich, how do you think, you know, he came across as far as, you know, the current product, you know, Kevin Eck, if y'all didn't already talk about it?
We talked a little bit about it, but we didn't talk about it the way you texted me. So why don't you go ahead and give the listeners an idea of what resonated with you?
Well, basically, you know, the way I feel about John Cena and Roman Reigns, I just say those two guys because they got the strongest push. And the way it's approached of him being Roman Reigns as a face has run its course, and he was like saying that they need to, you know, turn him heel. And it's not just saying it; it's that, you know, once you put your hands on the beloved Undertaker, you know, that's the easy route to turn him heel. You know, you don't have to, you know, he's explaining in a way where it's, you know, the old dog versus the new dog, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I know Travis mentioned when he was talking with Wade on Wednesday, I had completely forgotten the moment they had in the Rumble when he said it's my yard now. So it's just a natural extension of that if they keep track and they just keep pushing Roman's aggressiveness. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Roman did an interview, and I'm surprised Wade hasn't brought it up yet. Roman did an interview a few days ago where they asked him about The Rock's movie Moana, which was just a easy, you knock the ball out of the park, President did a great movie. He was like, yeah, I saw it, but I watched it on bootleg. Sorry, bro. Like, who says that as a face?
Right. You don't even supposed to say that.
That's a funny line, though.
Like, he's supposed to be that milquetoast face of the company that, you know, signs off. Like, what are you doing when you can't even tell a family member I watched your movie legally and paid money to see it? It just boggled my mind. Like, I just shook my head. It was up there
The little things that he does, his facial expressions, everything's, it's no way to be jealous. You just know he's been handed it. You know what I'm saying? And he walks it, he acts it, he relates it through his face. You know, I really don't want to be here, but I have to be here. I'm already paid, so I'll just let you guys boo me. I don't care. I'm getting paid. I'm rich. That's his whole demeanor. And it's like, oh, just, you know? So I just told him, I come in just to hear him get booed. I turn it up to hear him get booed.
Well, I think in that case, the company should just make him a. I think the company should just make him a heel. I think he would be an effective heel. You know, one of my issues I have with wrestling now is that I think people pick and choose who they like, not necessarily based on their character on the show, but their perception of them based on their history or certain angles. But I think if Roman Reigns is effective in the ways Boris has suggested as a heel, you know, those are all heel mannerisms that have been in wrestling for forever. They should make him a heel and see how it goes, you know, in a couple years or maybe even less than that. Usually the cocky heel gets popular. That's happened all throughout wrestling with a litany of people, and that might happen with him if they just give the heel run a chance.
Yeah, definitely. Boris, because we're short on time, I'm going to have to let you go, but is there anything quick you wanted to talk about before we peace out of here?
Yes. One thing on Japan. Kenny Omega. He is hot. Talk about, give a little bit of about Kenny Omega right now and this run he's on. With the people, it's like every match he's been with Ishii and all that. It's like, what is going on? This dude is on fire with this. You know, he just came out, you know, he went and left after he lost. He came back and got with another match. And as soon as that match gone, it's like it's echoing across over to here to the States. I just want you guys to take on Kenny Omega right now.
Absolutely. Thanks as always for calling, Boris. Now, Chris, I know you don't watch New Japan as much as I do, but I think Kenny Omega is kind of like the football player, like the quarterback. He's kind of like Drew Brees, where like in year four he got it and they never lost it. And Kenny's reached this zone where he's not a comedy act anymore, and he's mastered his craft, and it's amazing to see.
You know, Kenny Omega, from what I've seen, is great. Definitely has improved. You know, he went from being a junior heavyweight pushed into a top star. You know, something that New Japan is able to do that WWE can't do is turn people who are there into bigger stars. I think there's a bright future for him, and I think in about a year he'll have a lot of options.
Excellent. So on that note, I think we're going to close up shop for today. Chris, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your friendship, and I thank your wife for her patience. I hope you guys have a good night.
We will.
Go ahead.
No, I said we will, and thank you to Wade, Bruce, you, all the Torch listeners for allowing me to babble on here.
Awesome. And I want to thank you guys for listening. It's been fun as always. Bruce should be back next week. Hopefully we can set up a time where I can regale you with tales of the WWE Hall of Fame. And if not, tell you what I'm prepared to do WrestleMania week, since myself, my buddy Chris, who you just heard from, and some of our friends will be in picturesque Orlando for WrestleMania weekend. It's been a pleasure hosting the PW Torch Livecast for Friday, March 24th, 2017. I hope you guys have a great night and listen to this delightful piece of information regarding the VIP program.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Night.